بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد الحمد لله. We continue our readings in the work of Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya, hafidhah Allah ta'ala. She has entitled Nasihati lil-Nisa, my advice to the women. We have been reading from the chapter the author, she mentioned min afat al-lisan, from the illnesses, from the sicknesses, diseases of the tongue, the dangers, the illnesses of the tongue, the means that could be a reason for a person to earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any issues in the affairs related to the tongue that could be a means to destroy a person and cause them to fall into hellfire. Ayyadhan billah. She says, min afat al-lisan, from the diseases, the calamities and the illnesses of the tongue. We began reading from the sub-chapter. She has mentioned the fourth affair, An-Namima. An-Namima. She says here, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَالنَّمِيمَةُ هِيَ نَقْلُ كَلَامِ قَوْمٍ إِلَى قَوْمٍ عَلَى جِهَةِ الْإِفْسَادِ بَيْنَهُمْ. She is defining the word An-Namima. An-Namima in English, sometimes we will call that carrying tales, tale-carrying. Here she says the definition of an-namima, hiya naqlu kalami qawmin ila qawmin ala jihati al-ifsadi baynahum. This is to transmit statements, the statements of one group of people, from one person or one group of people to another person or another group of people, with the intention of bringing corruption and separating ties between them, to plant hatred and animosity between the two parties, to bring corruption and separation, hatred between them. This is called an-namima. This is called an-namima. It is whenever a person will go to a person or a group of people, and one party will go, or an individual will go to one party, whether it's one or a group of people, and he will speak to them and inform them about affairs of another group of people, that they said this or they did that, or they said this about you or they did that, so on and so forth, and only informing that other party with the intent to cause hatred and animosity towards those who are being spoken about. This is called namima, and he's trying to bring hatred and amongst the people, and animosity and separation and division. So whenever a person, he will speak to somebody else and he would inform them of some speech of another people or some actions of another people with the intent to rile up that person against the other people, this is called an-namima. She says, وَقَدْ ذَمَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَنْ كَانَ مُتَّصِفًا بِهَذِهِ الْخَصْلَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He has blamed and found to be blameworthy in His book, the one who was described with this attribute. The one who was described with this attribute, Allah Azza wa Jal, has blamed that person and mentioned him in a blameworthy status. She says, وَنَهَا عَنَ الْإِسْتِمَاعِ لِكَلَامِهِ. And also Allah Azza wa Jal has prohibited listening to that person's statements. The one who carries tales, the one who is a backbiter, likewise, as we have seen in the previous class, this is from the major sins. So a person who is known for perpetrating and committing major sins, their statements are not accepted and their statements are rejected, and anything that they transmit has to be verified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, if a corrupt, wicked individual, a sinner, a person who is known for committing sins, major sins, comes to you with information, then verify it first. Verify it first. This is a command in Surah Al-Hujurat. Now, so this is the case. If one of these people, they come in this manner, backbiting by the fact that this individual fell into this major sin, He has left his trustworthiness is gone. He become considered a fasik. So their statement is rejected. Likewise, the one who carries tails, a namam. This is a major sin. This is a major sin. So the one who carries tails to another, that one who's carrying tails, he is involved in a major sin at that time. Until he repents or she repents, they're considered fasiq. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said for the believers not to accept the statement of the fasiq until it is verified. Until it is verified. So the one who comes in this manner, carrying tails or backbiting others and the likes, his statement is rejected and it's not permissible to listen to them. This is what she says. وَنَهَا أَيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنَ الْإِسْتِمَاعِ لِكَلَامِهِ. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla has prohibited even listening to that person's statement. So the one who carries tails, Allah has dispraised him. And likewise has prohibited the believers from listening to his statement. فَقَالَ And Allah, she says, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in His book, the meaning of which is, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ And do not... This is a command to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise to the Ummah. But directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but likewise included in the command is the Ummah also. Now he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not obey the one who was halaf. Halaf, alladhi yahlifu kathiran. The one who was always swearing. Wallahi, wallahi this, wallahi that. The one who was always taking oaths and swearing unnecessarily. To making oaths and so on and so forth. Now this one is called halaf, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, and do not, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obey every one of these type of people. The first attribute, halaf, is always swearing much. Maheen, and his maheen meaning he is al-fajir, kithab, al-wadi' li-ikthari min al-qabih. And the one who is lowly and disgusting and baseless because he has fallen into lies and corruption and lowly affairs that are impermissible, that would cause a person to become despicable. He's called maheen, worthless. So the one who was like this, Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded his prophet, likewise the ummah of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to obey that person. Naam, and then also from those traits of that person not to be obeyed, hammaz. Hammaz, the one who is slandering and speaking ill of the people and finding fault with them, likewise backbiting them. Masha'in binamim, going about with calumnies. Going about with calumnies. And this is the point here. Masha'in binamim, going about with calumnies. Yani with namima, the one who is going about everywhere. Yamshi. Wayas'a bil fasadi bayna nas bin namima. Now that the person that is Masha'in bin Namim, the one who is going through the land and causing corruption between the people by carrying tales from one party to the next and slandering this party and that party and listening to information from one group and taking it to another group with hopes to cause enmity between the two and separation amongst their ranks. And this is a great sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this. And this is the case here, what she's mentioning, the proof in this verse, Hammaz Masha' bin Amim, the one who is the slanderer and backbiter, and the one who is going about through the land with calumnies. Calumnies means whenever somebody would mention some words or statements against another person, misinterpreting them in order to harm their reputation. Or that they would mention false charges against a person or a group of people maliciously, and in order to harm their reputation and to bring enmity and hatred between two parties. This is called a namima. This is called a namima, and this is a lowly trait. This is a lowly trait. Rather, from the traits of the one who is namim, yamshi bin namima, al-namam, and the Allah He described in halaf, maheen. Hammaz, Masha'in bin Namim, Manna' lil khair, the one who prohibits the good, Mu'tadin Athim, the one who transgresses the boundaries, a sinner. This person, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, do not obey them. Do not obey them, and do not listen to their statements, and do not judge from what they have mentioned any rulings against a person or a party, because their statements are rejected, because the actions that they are involved in are actions of filth and actions of sin and transgression. And these people, their statements are not relied upon. They must be verified. They must be verified. So she says, وَقَوْلُهُ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ أي يمشي بالنميمة بين الناس ويحرش بينهم ويهمز ويهمز كما في تفسير ابن كثير. She says the meaning here of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ, the one who is going about with calumnies. يعني calumnies, يعني he's spreading the tales with the intent of bringing harm to the person or another group of people, and harming and defaming their reputation and slandering them and bringing enmity and hatred and towards them from another group of people. يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is what this person is. مَشَّاءٍ بِالنَّمِيمَ. Allah mentioned him and this attribute, and slowly walking through the lands and hastening and striving to spread mischief and evil amongst the people. نَعْمْ وَيُحَرِّشُ بَيْنَهُمْ, striving to stir up rivalry. And the likes between the people, enmity and hatred, trying to set people against a group of people or one against another with enmity. وَيَهْمِزُ, and also belittling them and finding fault with them, just as she says is mentioned in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, referring back to this great Tafsir Ibn Kathir, where you can find a similar understanding of these words in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So she says here now, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الوادعية والنميمة من كبائر الذنوب والنميمة من كبائر الذنوب. النميمة, spreading tales and calumnies, spreading tales from one group or party to another with the intent of defaming them and belittling their reputation and bringing enmity and hatred towards them, so on and so forth. This is from the major sins. This is from the major sins, she says. ففي الصحيحين عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, because it has been narrated in الصحيحين, from the narration of ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. She says the hadith مرة, here in this text here it says مرة لرسول الله بقبرين. There's a mistake or a misprint in the text I'm reading from. The lam is here, لرسول الله. This is a mistake, it should be erased. مرة رسول الله. This is how you read it. The lamb, if any of the sisters are reading along with the Arabic print, then this lamb here is it should be erased. مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقبرين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he passed by two graves. فقال, and he said, إنهما ليعذبان وما يعذبان في كبير بلى إنه كبير. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, after passing by these two graves, he mentioned about them. He said, verily, the two of them, meaning the people, those two people in those two graves, verily they are being punished. La yu'adhaban, verily they are being punished. And then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلْ هُوَ كَبِيرٌ. And they're not being punished for something great, rather it is great. And not something great or major, rather it is great and major. Now she's going to explain the meaning of this. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, we will read. And then the hadith continues, and he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. As for one of them, one of those people, one of those persons in the grave that's being punished, as for one of them, he used to go about through the lands with namima, carrying tales and defaming others and bringing enmity and hatred between people. This is why he's in the grave, and he's being punished. This person is in the grave being punished. Huh? بَلْ إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ. Rather, it's something major. This is something major. نَمْ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ, he's in the grave being punished. This is major. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَدِرُ مِنْ بَوْلِهِ. As for the other one, he did not used to protect himself, shield himself from his urine whenever he would pass urine. نَمْ, so these are two reasons why the people are in the grave being punished. Some people in the grave, as these two people here have been mentioned, they're in the grave and they're being punished in the grave. Why are they being punished? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one of them used to walk around carrying tales, spreading mischief through the land and enmity and separating between the people, carrying tales, defaming the reputation of one party and the other, and so on and so forth. And the other one, he used to not take caution and passing urine, and it would splash on his clothing or on his body, and he would not clean it. He would not protect himself or shield himself from the urine. Now he was not concerned with this issue of al-tahara and purification. So she says, وَقَوْلُهُ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. The statement of the Prophet ﷺ in this narration. Verily, the two of them, they're being punished, and they're not being punished for something great. And the meaning here, أَيَّنَ النَّمِيمَةَ وَعَدَمَ التَّنَظُّفِ مِنْ نَجَاسَةِ الْبَوْلِ شَيْئَانِ صَغِيرَانِ سَهُلَ اجْتِنَابُهُمَا وَلَكِنْ عَذَابَهُمَا شَدِيدٌ. She says here the meaning of that they are not being punished for something great, and in the first mentioning of the word kabir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the word kabir two times. First time with negation, the second time with affirmation. Whenever there's a word that comes like this, one is being negated and the other one is being affirmed, the one that is negated is not the same one that is affirmed. This is a principle in the usul of tafsir that Ibn Sa'di, he mentioned in the beginning of his tafsir. He mentioned some usul wa qawa'id al-kulliya fi tafsir al-Qur'an. And from them is this principle here, that likewise in these texts, in this hadith, that if there's the mention of one word, it's being affirmed in the same word, in another text is being negated, they're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. So the first kabir, that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're not being punished for something that's kabir. And then he said, rather, verily, truly, it is kabir. And if the intent is not the same thing. So she says here, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. He's not being punished. They're not being punished for something kabir, major, great. Meaning, she says that an-namima and not cleansing oneself from the impurities of bowl, these are both something that are small. That are small and easy for a person to leave them off. Easy for a person to leave them off. It's easy for a person to protect himself from urine. This is not something that requires lots of effort. Rather, a person, he would be cautious in the manner that they pass the urine. And then if something were to splash on them or and the likes, then they would clean it off and they wouldn't just leave it there without having concern. Rather, they would take precaution in the process, and then if something were to get on their body or their clothing, they will clean it. They will clean it. And this is something that is not kabir. And it's not hard. It's not difficult to perform that action. Likewise, to stay away from backbiting, a person would just stop speaking and not say it. This is something that does not require a lot of effort for a person to leave off carrying tales and spreading evil. Rather, to go about carrying tales and spreading mischief through the lands, this requires effort. As to not do that and to refrain from that, this does not require much effort from a person to stop using their tongue in this manner. So this is the meaning here, that they're being punished, but not for something major, and not for something major that it's hard for them to leave off. But she says, وَلَكِنْ عَذَابَهُمَا شَدِيدٌ. It's not hard for the person to leave it off, but the punishment for these actions is major and severe. Is major and severe. So this is the meaning. بَلَا إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ. The second time, إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ, meaning that very it's kabir, meaning it's a major sin and the punishment is severe. So it's not major, it's not something major, meaning it's not hard and difficult to leave these two things off. But the one who falls into them, the punishment, it is kabir, shadid. Naam, the punishment is major for this one. And this is a punishment in the grave. And as we have seen in previous classes, we know that from the sign of a major sin is that if there is a punishment that is mentioned about that, from the signs. And if there's a punishment, a particular punishment prescribed, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this action, the one who is performing it, he's being punished in the grave because of that action. This is a clear indication it's a major sin. It's a clear indication it is a major sin. So a believer will be cautious from this. This is the point here in this chapter is this namima and carrying tales and defaming others and trying to separate between two parties and a group, especially between loved ones and friends, that one time they're friends and one time they're companions, and a person will come between them and spread lies and spread tales and mention things. Even sometimes maybe they may be true, but he will mention them in order to bring separation between them. Or even if they're between enemies and they already have separation between them, he will bring more and try to separate further and bring fuel to the fire of the fitna between the two people or between the two parties. All of this is very dangerous. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that there was an individual in his time being punished in the grave for this. Being punished in the grave for this. So a believer, he will not take this lightly. This is something that definitely is a calamity of the tongue and a danger of the tongue. A believer, should be aware of this, and a believer should strive to correct their tongue, to stay away from this, fearing the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, leaving off this action and also those who perform this action. وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Now the person, he will not go, will not listen to this person, he will not obey him, and he will not even accept his statement, he will not even want to be in the company of that individual because of his lowliness or her lowliness, the people who go around in this manner and the lies like this, spreading tales about others and speaking ill about others behind their back, and then also on top of that trying to bring separation between two parties or two groups of the believers, or to bring more animosity and enmity towards the two people and between the two parties. This is from the actions of the low lives, the one who is considered maheen, the one who is prohibiting khair, and he is a mu'tadin, the one who transgresses the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla, a theme, a sinner. Now, these are lowly traits. A believer would never want to be described with these traits, or accompany those described with these traits. Now, so she says here, قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ حَدَثَنَا أَبُو نُعِيمٍ قَالَ حَدَثَنَا سُفْيَانَ عَنْ مَنْصُورٍ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَنْ هَمَّامٍ قَالَ كُنَّا مَعَ هُذَيْفَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَقِيلَ لَهُ إِنَّ رَجُلًا كَانَ يَرْفَعُ الْحَدِيثَ إِلَى عُثْمَانَ فقال حذيفة سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يدخل الجنة قد تات لا يدخل الجنة قد تات. She mentions the narration of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, that Hammam ibn Munabbih rahimahullah ta'ala, from the narrators of hadith, he said, and the tabi'in, he said, we were with حذيفة radiyallahu anhu, that we were with Hudhayfa, and he said that there was a man that he used to mention statements about Uthman. That he used to mention statements about Uthman, radiyallahu anhu. That he said, radiyallahu anhu. Whenever Hudhayfa heard this, radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned this narration. He mentioned this narration, radiyallahu anhu. He said, verily I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لا يدخل الجنة قد تات. لا يدخل الجنة قد تات. Now that I know قد تات will enter the paradise. So here this man is mentioning statements about Uthman that he did or said, or mentioning things about him, radiyallahu anhu. فقال حذيفة سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يدخل الجنة قد تات. That no قد تات will enter paradise. Will enter paradise. قد تات, the ulama they mention النمام. She says here, وقوله قد تات يفسره ما في رواية مسلم. يفسره ما في. Here's another misprint in the work, in the book here. If it's in the Arabic book, it says there's an alif missing. Riwayati Muslimin. Yufassiruhu ma fi riwayati Muslim. Here, after the wow, there should be an alif. Riwaya means narration. It's missing here. Yufassiruhu ma fi riwayati Muslimin. La yadkhulu jannata namam. So she says here that this word qattat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that no qattat will enter paradise. And the meaning of this word qattat has been interpreted and explained and clarified in a narration by Imam Muslim. And the same narration, la yadkhulu al-jannata namam. La yadkhulu al-jannata namam. So a qattat is a namam. Qattat is namam. This is the meaning of the word qattat. It is an-namam. An-namam. The one who is spreading tales and carrying lies and slanders against others in order to defame them and to bring enmity and hatred between the two. So she says here, قِيلَ إِنَّ الْقَتَّاتِ هُوَ الَّذِي يَسْتَمِعُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يُعْلَمْ بِهِ ثُمْ يَنْقُلُ مَا سَمِعَهُ. Now she says here, it's been mentioned that the word qattat, it means namam. But another meaning of the word qattat would be more specific. She said it's been mentioned this. Likewise, also from the understanding of this word qattat. And namam is the one who is in general. He takes the speech of one party to another party in order to bring corruption between the two. As for the qattat, she says, then it's the same meaning like in this narration here, but also some of the ulama they mention it's a bit different or it's more specific. And that the one who is considered qattat is the one who would listen to the statements of others where he is not known. And he would eavesdrop on them. He would listen in a manner they would not know that he's listening, and then he would take that statement, what he heard from them, while not knowing that he's listening, and he would take it to others in this manner. The difference between a namam and qattat in some of the statements of the ulama. But in general, this hadith, it clarifies the meaning of qattat. And it's the namam. It's the namam. Nam, so both of them. In any case, in the riwayat of Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, "La yadkhulu al-jannata namam." The one who carries, the one who goes about with namima, this one does not enter paradise. This one will not enter paradise. Nam, so she says here, a very important point. Mentioning this here is that from the text to clarify the danger of this sin and the severity of the sin. And that Allah Azza wa Jal has blamed that person, and that person is blameworthy in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also Allah has prohibited from obeying or listening to that person's statement, the one who is namam, the one who goes about with namima. And here is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he mentioned negating the entrance of paradise. And he will not enter paradise. Who will, this one that will not enter paradise, what is his trait? An-namam, al-qattat. The one who carries tales and goes about with calumnies, and the one who is listening to the statements of others and transmitting them to another party in order to bring enmity between them and cause separation in the ranks, and the one who is seeking to defame others and belittle their reputation and harm their reputation, and so on and so forth. This person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will not enter paradise. So this is from those texts that has a great threat for those who fall into these sins. This is a great threat for the one who falls into this. But these texts must be understood properly. The understanding of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The understanding of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Because many of the people have been misled and they have went astray. And this is because they have focused their aim or their view. They have looked at particular texts. For example, the text of Al-Wa'id, the threat. The threat and the threat of punishment and the threat of the hellfire and the threat of the anger of Allah. And they have focused their view on these texts alone and then left off the other texts that have mentioned the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and His kindness and that He is the most forgiving and merciful and that He accepts the forgiveness of those who repent. And then on another case, on the other hand, some people, they have focused their view and their understanding of the text on just one aspect, and that is the aspect of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the text that mentioned the great forgiveness and the vast mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they leave off looking at the text of the threat of punishment. And they say, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful, like this. But the people of the Sunnah, they look at all of the text in one light. They look at all of the texts and they understand the issues based upon all of the texts, not looking at one side. So the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, how did they go astray? They focus their view only on the text where there's a threat and of punishment and the entrance in hellfire. And then because of this, they have declared Muslims to be disbelievers and that they will be in the fire for eternity. And they use, for example, this narration, the likes of this narration, no namam will enter paradise. They understood that with their understanding, not the understanding of the people of the Sunnah. And they have, by the likes of this narration, declared Muslims who commit major sins and die upon that to be disbelievers. They made takfir of them. Ayyadhan billah. On the other hand, those people who leave off looking at those texts of the threat and they only look at the text of the mercy of Allah, like the Murji'ah, that deviant group likewise, and they find that they look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and they lean on these texts and they forget about the threat of the punishment and they fall into sin and they also fall into at-tasahul wa tahawun bid-deen and taking things lightly and being lackadaisical and not being serious and being negligent in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then they say, oh, Allah is forgiving and merciful. But as for the people of the Sunnah, they don't follow that way or that way, whether they look at both texts and they follow the middle course. This is what the author she will refer to now. She says, وَنَفْيُ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ عَنِ النَّمَامِ وكذا بقية أدلة الوعيد فيها شبهة للخوارج الذين يكفرون من ارتكب معصية وإن كان موحدا. She says here this negation of the entrance of paradise from the one who is namam. And the hadith says that no namam went to paradise. So here the entrance of paradise is being negated from this namam, the person who carries tails and calumnies. And she says, so this negation of entering paradise from this namam, and likewise the rest of the evidences and the proofs that come with the wa'id, the threat of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His anger. They have these texts, there's a shubha and a misunderstanding, a deviated understanding that the Khawarij have with regards to this, that has caused them, and those who are the Khawarij, they're the ones who declare the one who commits a major sin to be a disbeliever, even if he was a person of Tawheed. Naam. So she says here, وَيُجَابُ عَنْ هَذِهِ شُبْهَ بِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. But the answer to this shubha, this misunderstanding, and this misguided understanding that they have, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most High. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That verily Allah does not forgive that partners are set up with Him in worship, but He forgives lesser than that to whom He wills. So this verse is clear that the one who commits shirk, then there's no forgiveness for him. The one who dies upon shirk, there's no forgiveness for him nor any mercy. Ya'adhan billah. As for the one who committed a sin that is lesser than shirk, meaning he still has his tawheed, but he fell into major sin, lesser than shirk, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He forgives whom He wills. He forgives whom He wills. So we know that an-namima is a major sin, but it's not shirk. It's not shirk. So then we have to understand this text here, لا يدخل الجنة نمام. نمام. That this will be understood according to the light of the other text, not just one text, but rather in the light of the other text. So the one meaning here that he will not enter paradise, the one who is carrying tails, the namam, and namima is lesser than major shirk, then there has to be a proper understanding for this. There has to be a proper understanding for this. And that is that meaning that he will not enter paradise until he is purified by entering the hellfire. Meaning he will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If Allah wills, He will punish him and purify him in the paradise, or if Allah wills, He will pardon him and forgive him. But also from the meaning of that, he will not enter paradise, meaning not with those who enter in the beginning, and in the understanding of this, the one who dies. Illa an yasha Allah Azza wa Jal an yafuwa. Unless Allah Azza wa Jal, He wills to pardon him. So she says, فَجَعَلَ الذُّنُوبَ تَحْتَ مَشِيَّتِهِ إِن شَاءَ غَفَرَهَا لَهُ وَإِن شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. So this verse here, she mentions here about the verse that verily Allah, He does not forgive that partners are set up with Him but in worship, but He forgives that which is lesser than that to whom He wills. She says, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ. Allah has made the sins here that are lesser than shirk to be under the will of Allah, under His will. If He wills, He will forgive them, and if He wills, He will punish that individual. بِقَدْرِ ذَنْبِهِ, according to his sin. ثُمَّ مَآلُهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Then in the end, his final abode will be the paradise. This one who had major sins, but he died upon major sins. But he is a believer, a Muslim, he has tawheed, the asl of tawheed. Then if Allah wills, He will punish him according to the degree of his sin and his crimes. And if Allah wills, Azza wa Jal, He will pardon him and forgive him. Naam. And in any case, the one who dies with tawheed, the foundation of tawheed, even if it's deficient, but he has that tawheed established, then his final abode and destination, ثُمَّ مَآلُهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Then his destination will be paradise. سِوَى الشِّرْكِ الْأَكْبَرُ فَإِنَّهُ يُخَلِدُ صَاحِبَهُ فِي النَّارِ. Everything besides major shirk, because major shirk causes that person to abide eternally in the hellfire. The major shirk causes that person to abide eternally in the hellfire. So she says, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ بُخَارِي رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو الْيَمَانِ. حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو الْيَمَانِ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا شُعَيْبُ عَنْ الزُّهْرِي قَالَ أَخْبَرَنِي أَبُو إِدْرِيسِ عَائِذُ اللَّهِ إِبْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ أن عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه وكان أن عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه وكان شهد بدرا وهو أحد النقباء ليلة العقبة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال وحوله عصابة من أصحابه. بايعوني على أن لا تشركوا بالله شيئا ولا تسرقوا ولا تزنوا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم ولا تأتوا ببهتان تفترونه بين أيديكم وأرجلكم ولا تعصوا في معروف فمن وفى منكم فأجره على الله ومن أصاب من ذلك شيئا فعوقب في الدنيا فهو كفارة له ومن أصاب من ذلك شيئا ثم ستره الله فهو إلى الله إن شاء عفى عنه وإن شاء عقبه فبايعناه على ذلك فبايعناه على ذلك الله أكبر. This is a narration in Sahih Bukhari, narrated by Ubadah ibn As-Samit رضي الله عنه. He said that, and he was from those people who witnessed Badr, and he is from the leaders of the noble leaders on the night of Al-Aqaba, whenever they took the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the bay'ah or mubay'ah, and they took the allegiance, the pledge of allegiance from the Ansar. They took the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this night, Laylat al-Aqaba. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had around him a group of his companions, and he said to them, "Pledge your allegiance to me. Pledge your allegiance to me." This is how they pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Bayyuni, all of you, pledge your allegiance to me, that you will not associate any partners with Allah whatsoever, and that you will not steal, and that you will not commit fornication, and that you will not kill your children, and that you will not do slander." And spread tales and lies, and also that you will not disobey if someone commands you to do good. And whoever fulfills this, then his reward is with Allah Azza wa Jal. And whoever commits some of these things and he invalidates his bay'ah, and he fell into some of these things that's impermissible, and he is held accountable or punished in this life, then there will be an expiation for him. And whoever does some of that, and he commits some of that, some of these things that are impermissible, and then Allah covers his fault or his error or his sin in this life, then his affairs to Allah. If Allah wills, he will pardon him, and if Allah wills, he will punish him. Now, so this is the point of the narration, that they took their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would be obedient, and that they would not make a shirk, and that they would not steal, and that they would not commit zina, and that they would not kill their children, and that they would not go around carrying tales with buhtan and slandering, and that they would not disobey the command of good. Whenever the commandment of good, this is in general, and all of the commandments, all of the ma'ruf and the deen, the awamir, they would not disobey with regards to that. And if they fulfill that, then their promise is with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and their reward is with Allah Azza wa Jalla, the promise of paradise. And if they commit some of that, and they are held accountable for that in this life, then, or they're punished for that in this life, then that punishment will be an expiation for them. As for those people who commit these sins and perpetrate sins, and then Allah covers them, and they meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and he with these sins, then if Allah wills, he will pardon him, and if Allah wills, he will punish him. This is the proof here, and this is the point here. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took an oath with the people about this, and that this is the promise that he gave them whenever they made an oath to them, that if you fulfill these rites, then you have the promise of paradise, and your reward is with Allah Azza wa Jal. If you commit some of these sins, and then you are taken to account for this and punished in this life, and from a religious punishment from the hudud of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this would be expiation for you for that sin in this life. As for those who are not held accountable for their sin in this life, and they meet Allah Azza wa Jalla with these sins, then if Allah wills, he will punish him, and if Allah wills, he will pardon him. He will pardon him. This is the proper understanding. So anything that is lesser than major shirk, this is the case for that person. Anyone who meets Allah Azza wa Jal without repenting from major sins, sins that are lesser than shirk, this is the understanding of that individual. That if Allah wills, he will punish him for his crime and for his sin accordingly. And if Allah wills, he will pardon him. He will pardon him. So these texts, like this text here, must be understood like this. The one who, no namam, will enter paradise, and this is the proper meaning. This is the proper understanding. Meaning that if Allah did not pardon him, then he will not enter paradise with those who enter with the first, in the first rank. He will not enter paradise before entering the hellfire. He will not enter paradise without being cleansed from the hellfire first. And that's the meaning. So she says, فَأَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ تَحْتَ مَشِيَّةِ اللَّهِ. So the Prophet has informed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed us that that person, he is under the will of Allah. إِن شَاءَ عَذَبَهُ وَإِن شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ. That if Allah wills, he will punish him, and if Allah wills, he will forgive him. She says here, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. وَأَدِلَّةُ الْوَعِيدِ الَّتِي فِيهَا نَفْيُ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ عَنِ الْمُوَحِّدِ إِذِ ارْتَكَبَ كَبِيرَةً تُحْمَلُ عَلَى أَنَّ فِيهَا حَذْفًا وَالتَّقْدِيرُ إِن جَازَاهُ أَوْ أَنَّهُ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ دُخُولًا أَوَّلِيًّا يعذب بقدر ذنبه إلا أن يعفو الله عنه ثم مآله إلى الجنة وأنه إذا كان مستحلا أو أنه إذا كان مستحلا فإنه باستحلاله يكون مكذبا للنص سواء فعله أو لم يفعله. نعم, she says here, so this is the case with this issue here that we're discussing, النمام, but this is she mentioned in general the proof or the evidence with regards to the wa'id and the threat. They're understood of the person that will not enter paradise, and if he's a believer, a person of tawheed. And if there are issues whenever a person is mentioned a person from tawheed, but then it's mentioned that he will not enter paradise. Like for example, this namam, if he's a Muslim and he's namam, the proper understanding of this hadith, he will not enter paradise. And this is what she's mentioning here. And the proper understanding of these texts, whenever there's a person who is a person of tawheed, he's a believer, he's a Muslim, and then in the text it's mentioned that they will not enter paradise, the negation of paradise for this individual, how is it understood if he commits a major sin? She says this is understood that in this text there is something that is understood, understanding. They call it حَذْفًا وَالتَّقْدِيرُ. I forgot the word of that. Implied meaning. نعم, alhamdulillah. An implied meaning. There's an implied meaning here. Meaning that if Allah held him accountable for that, she says, إِن جَازَاهُ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِن جَازَاهُ عَلَيْهِ. If he held him accountable entirely for that, he will not enter paradise. Or the meaning she says is that he will not, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ دُخُولًا أَوَّلِيًّا. That he will not enter paradise any in the very beginning, with those who enter in the beginning. نعم يعذب بقدر ذنبه إلا أن يعفو الله عنه. That meaning that he will not enter paradise in the beginning with those who are pious and righteous enter paradise, but rather he will be punished first according to his sin, and then he will enter paradise unless Allah pardons him. Unless Allah pardons him. This is the understanding. This is the understanding for the one who is a Muslim, a muwahid, a person of tawheed, and they die upon major sins. This is the understanding. This is the understanding. That they will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, He will punish him according to his sin, and then after he is cleansed in the fire, then he went to paradise. Or if Allah wills, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the most forgiving, merciful, He will pardon him entirely, and he will be under the will of Allah. He will be under the will of Allah. She says, or this understanding could be if that person is declaring that action to be halal. If he believes that it's halal, any of these sins, like for example, they believe and declare to be halal, it's permissible to backbite, and they say this and they believe that, then this person has denied the text. So whether he did backbiting or not, if he believed that it's permissible, then he's a disbeliever for disbelieving in the text and for denying the text. So these are the understandings that it would be. Like this, she says, وَجَاءَ عَنْ بَعْضِ السَّلَفِ أَنَّ أَدِلَّةَ الْوَعِيدِ تُمَرُّ كَمَا جَاءَتْ وَلَا يُتَعَرَّضُ لِمَعْنَاهَا لِأَنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي الزَّجْرِ. But it has been mentioned from some of the Salaf that these texts and the evidences with regards to the threat of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal and the hellfire, they should be just mentioned as they come, and they shouldn't be explained. And this would be more severe, and also more severe with regards to the zajr, the scolding and the reprimand. It would be more harsh in the reprimand. But because of the people of falsehood have misinterpreted these texts, then there's a need to explain them. There's a need to explain them. Many of the ulama, they would not explain these texts in the early days, and they would mention that this would be more frightful whenever a person hears that. If he heard that, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ نَمَّامِ, that no person who carries tails will enter paradise, no person who goes about with namima will enter paradise, that goes about with namima will enter paradise, this will cause him to be afraid. And this will be very beneficial for that person to leave off backbiting. to leave off backbiting. Some people, they may be tried with miss also another shubha and say, oh, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He forgives. As long as I die as a Muslim, I'm good. And they will fall into the statements of the likes of the previous nations, وَلَنْتَ مَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً, that the fire will only touch us a few days, as the Jews have said. And belittling the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His prohibitions. So a believer, he would not do that. Rather, he would see that this is a great affair. Or she would find that this is a major affair and strive against their soul to leave off carrying tales. And the author, she continues to speak about some of these issues related to the issue of takfir and the khawarij and their madhahib al-khabitha and likewise the mu'tazila. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.